Okay, as you can see, I have a theme for Our Lady's Day, as life is hard, but God is good. You know it's going to take courage when you have an idea of what God is calling you to do and you get butterflies in your stomach just thinking about the task. Welcome to my butterflies. Like I said, I was not nervous this whole time preparing for this, so now I'm a little bit nervous. So Lee asked me about 2 years ago, if I could do anything I wanted, what would it be? I shocked the pants off of him when I said, a motivational speaker. I've made the mistake of sharing that with others as I now lead a ladies' Bible study, and then they thought I should try and be a little braver and then speak to you all. I have been a military wife since the day we married in 2001. And this is our verse that we've leaned on, relied on, whatever, since Lee was in Afghanistan in 2013. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I found this little article, actually popped up in my Facebook memories, called The Military Wife. A military wife. Lots of moving. Moving, moving, moving far from home. Moving two cars, three kids, and one dog, all riding with her, of course. Moving sofas to basements because they don't fit in this house. Moving curtains that won't fit. Moving jobs and certifications and professional development hours. Moving away from friends. Moving toward new friends. Moving her most important luggage, a trunk full of memories. Often waiting, 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 waiting for housing, waiting for orders, waiting for deployments, waiting for phone calls, waiting for reunions, waiting for the new curtains to arrive, waiting for him to come home for dinner again. They call her military dependent, but she knows better. She is fiercely independent. She can balance a checkbook, handle the yard work, fix a noisy toilet, bury the family pet. She is intimately familiar with drywall anchors and toggle bolts. She can file the taxes, sell a house, buy a car, or set up a move, all with one power of attorney. She welcomes neighbors that don't welcome her. She reinvents her career with every PCS. Locate a house in the desert, the Arctic, or the Deep South, and learns to call them all home. She makes them all home. Military wives are somewhat hasty. They leap into decorating, leadership, volunteering, career alternatives, churches, and friendships. They don't have 15 years to get to know people. Their roots are short but flexible. They plan annuals for themselves and perennials for those who come after them. Military wives quickly learn to value each other. They connect over coffee, rely on the spouse network, accept offers of friendship and favors, record addresses in pencil. Military wives have a common bond. The military wife has a husband unlike other husbands. His commitment is unique. He doesn't have a job. He has a mission that he can't just decide to quit. He's on call for his country 24/7. But for her, he's the most unreliable guy in town. His language is foreign. TDY, PCS, EPR, SOS, ACC, BDU, OCP, BAR, CIP, TAD. I had to have him last night. I'm like, hey, what do all of these mean? I know half of them. And so a military wife is a translator for her family and his. She is the long-distance link to keep them informed, the glue that holds them together. A military wife has her moments. She wants to wring his neck, dye his uniform pink, refuse to move to Siberia, but she pulls herself together. Give her a few days, a travel voucher, a long hot bath, a pledge to the flag, a wedding picture, and she goes. She packs, she moves, she follows. Why? For what? How come? You may think it is because she has lost her mind, but actually it's because she has lost her heart. It was stolen from her by a man who puts his duty first, who longs to deploy, who salutes the flag, and whose boots in the doorway remind her that as long as he is her military husband, she will remain his military wife and would have it no other way. And that was written by Jane Hyde. That like fits my life pretty close. Okay, so back to Lee and I getting married. See, I'm going to go off my notes here. We'll see if I get lost. Debbie, where are you, Debbie? Debbie brought out his graduation picture one time when I started hanging out at her house on the weekends. And she's like, hey, I have this nephew. And so she showed me his picture, and he was decked out in cowboy clothes. And I'm like, oh, he's very good looking. And he always says that I called him first, but he called me. And we talked for 4 hours straight. And I knew that night I was going to marry this man. My poor mother, I don't think she was on the same page. Life wasn't always easy, and I had moments of being frustrated at God. But my God is faithful. He showed up and gave me hope. And he has promised me a future. And this is where our verse comes in. I learned to rely on God's strength, to have the power to push through hard times. The power of prayer was my only hope for some days. Okay, now look at the cake. This is the picture I want, is the one on the cake. Nope, I lied. Not ready. Our first year of marriage was rough. I thought I was ready for a change and to leave my family behind. I had a husband who went with me to church while dating, but then refused to go with me after marriage. I prayed for Lee for 10 years until God finally broke through his stubbornness. I am truly thankful to have grown up in a Christian home where I learned a lot about God and his love for me. I remember as a child, I'd squirm on the church pew when they'd have an altar call. My heart would race, and I just knew the preacher was talking to me. See? Butterflies. We moved the summer I turned 13 to Wisconsin from Pennsylvania. It changed our whole family's life. We went from having a dad home only on the weekends to all the time. This was the start of my life where I learned to find a new church family everywhere I'd move. I accepted Jesus our first summer here at the new church we found, and no, it wasn't from an altar call, but in my bedroom, one night that I had been frightened. I wanted to find the peace and comfort knowing that I had God on my side. There are many tools for Christian women to be trained in godliness, but the best are the ones we already have, the Bible and our minds. Oh, this one had the Timothy. Let's read the Timothy. Have nothing to do with godless myth and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I was not the most compassionate when it came to Lee not wanting to go to church with me. Sunday mornings were very stressful. I would learn along the way of talking kindly about Lee to others through my frustration of his unwillingness to budge. You survived what you thought would kill you. Now straighten your crown and move forward like the queen you are. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. This verse came into play a little over a year later when we moved in with the in-laws. I don't know if it was one of the wisest choices, but I've never been an adult before, so it's definitely true when they say every day is a new day. We have the power to make choices, choose kind words, do kind things. Proverbs 31:26. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I was on the quieter side when it came to crowds and people I didn't know. I was accused of being a snob when I didn't talk. Maybe that was another crack in my shell of becoming an adult. My marriage to Lee moved me to another state, from Wisconsin to Wyoming, so that brought another new church. I started going with Pat and Hugh to their little country church. It's where I learned to play the mandolin. The church bought me one so I could play for them. I returned it when I needed a more Christ-centered leadership in the church, so now I'm on to church number 5. By now I have 2 kids, and they started getting involved with church activities as well. I had done a few Bible studies along the way, and I had my prayer journals, and I wasn't giving up on Lee and his need to come back to God. Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. This is from a story of a woman who would not stop seeking. Never underestimate the power of constant communication with the Lord. God hears your prayers. Another big change came in our lives when Lee was accepted to be a military training instructor in San Antonio, Texas. The story of my life was that every time I had a kid, Lee also had training for work in a different state. A month after Jason was born, Lee left for 7 months to Mississippi and Georgia. At 37 weeks, my blood pressure had started to go up, and they induced labor and were prepared for a C-section, but thankfully Jason came. We were in the hospital for a few days until my blood pressure would go down again. He left a little over a month later after Rachel was born for 6 weeks in Tennessee. Rachel's delivery was another story. I was sick all day on Thanksgiving, and by evening I couldn't keep anything down. So Lee took me to the ER around 9:30. It took them a few hours to realize I didn't have a stomach bug, but the HELP syndrome, which stands for hemolysis. Elevated liver enzymes and a low platelet count is what the HELP syndrome stands for. When I looked up the meaning, it said that it was very, very rare, fewer than 20,000 cases per year. Lee wasn't allowed in the OR. I just remember being super cold, that I was shivering. I don't remember being fearful or worried. Rachel was delivered early the next morning at 5 weeks early. She was on oxygen and feeding tube for a day or two. This time it was my white blood cell count that we were waiting on before we were able to go back home. Number 3 was our surprise baby. When Cheyenne came along, they knew to watch me due to my past pregnancies. I was now working at the hospital cafeteria over this pregnancy, and it was the last night of on the job. I was at 37 weeks pregnant. I had a doctor appointment that morning, and my blood pressure was up a bit. I had strict instructions to go back upstairs to the labor ward before I headed home that night. Lee, of course, was out of town, surprise, surprise, and on a mission, and Pat already had the other two, so they admitted me, which was Friday night. They were going to watch me over the weekend. By Monday morning, they knew I wasn't going to change until we delivered the baby. Someone either got a hold of Lee or they came back that Sunday. At 5 pounds and 4 ounces, Cheyenne was our healthiest baby. Lee left 4 months later to train for his new job in San Antonio. With 3 little ones and one of them in school, I had to pack up our house for our move right the day after Christmas. Lee came back to load our stuff. He drove the U-Haul with 1 kid and a dog, and I drove my car with 2 kids and a dog. This was our first big move as a family. It all happened quick after Lee being accepted that we weren't prepared very well. Base housing was full for short term, so we booked a hotel that allowed dogs and was close to base. It was not the nicest, but they were super friendly when I needed clean sheets as one of the kids got sick. I made a lot of phone calls and searched the internet for an apartment that took dogs and allowed us a short-term lease as we had already found a house. The apartment I found was not in a not so good part of town. The door had 4 deadbolts. We only took the minimal: mattress, a card table, a rocking chair, dishes, and a TV. Lee's truck was broken into, so we parked it on base. Apparently, it was a popular truck that they liked to steal. So now we were down to 1 car. I became a chauffeur. I pulled the kids out of bed around 4 a.m., took Lee to work, came back for a few more hours of sleep till Jason needed to go to school. Then we repeated that in the evening when Lee was done working around 10. It was a bit of a stressful time period while we lived in the apartment, dealing with paperwork, trying to get our Wyoming house sold, and the new house paperwork finished. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. We had no family in Texas. I knew no one. So when your husband works all day, I had God to rely on, to fill me with peace and strength, so I could keep taking the next steps needed to finalize everything and move into our house. With living in the not so nice part of town and had to be out early and late to chauffeur Lee, but I don't remember fear or worry. We endured that life for a month. Lee's life changed too, as he was afraid I wouldn't go find a new church on my own. So he went with me. I think we tried 2 churches before we found the right one. I connected with some moms. That November, my sister Sylvia sent us tickets for a marriage retreat that was in San Antonio. Pat and Hugh came down for the weekend and stayed with the kids. Lee wasn't thrilled about going, but it's what his heart needed to hear. He turned his heart back to God and started helping in the youth group. I started teaching Sunday school, and the following year I taught at the church's preschool program twice a week. When you are grounded and established in the Lord, we have confidence that we can boldly walk forth and do his bids. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. This is the saddest picture I own. This was the day we were saying goodbye to Lee as he was preparing to leave for Afghanistan. Thank goodness for FaceTime. Who knew we'd rely on it again? For those of you who don't know, Lee is stationed in Denver, Colorado at this moment. So with him being stationed in Denver, we do FaceTime a lot. And when he was in Afghanistan, that's all how we communicated, was FaceTime. We know time heals. I know I was sad, angry, or worried for Lee's safety at times. I remember one night while on the phone with Lee, he had to hang up as a bomb had gone off. To this day, I'm still learning about things that happened to him while he was over there. Time has healed my sorrow, and it slowly is healing Lee. I clung to God through it all. Last night, Lee reminded me that I had to deal with his night terrors as well when he came home from Afghanistan, and I also learned that you don't wake them up from their night terrors. I once again was packing to move a house as the kids and I were moving back to Wyoming until Lee returned home. I was blessed with a generous church family who came and helped me move all our things to a storage unit. So that summer of 2014, we moved north again. At this time, we already knew we were headed to Alaska when Lee returned. We got to make a list of places you'd like to be sent for in the Air Force. And I can't remember if the list was 10 or 14 choices, but I do remember Alaska was at the bottom 2. Lee returned the following November. I flew down to Texas to meet up with him, and then we rented a car and drove back to Wyoming to surprise the kids. Lee then returned to Texas to finish up his time and prepare for the move to Alaska. I again flew down in the end of January to help Lee pack up our things. This was our first experience of having a moving company, and I never did find my toaster. Lee and I headed north again, rented a U-Haul car hauler so we could load my van. Lee had to change out his turbo before we even headed out. We left Wyoming in a snowstorm. Our last night in Montana, before we crossed into Canada, Lee caught the stomach bug that Rachel had before we left. So we spent an extra night. thank goodness they had a swimming pool. Our border check was a breeze, less than half an hour. I think it was our second night in Canada. I caught the stomach bug, so we spent an extra night there. We only would drive 300 to 400 miles per day due to weather, daylight, and it's about how far apart the towns were. By the time we reached Alaska, we had driven over 4,200 miles, dealt with sickness, 6 flat trailer tires, and a truck repair. We left San Antonio on February 4th and arrived in Anchorage, Alaska on Valentine's Day. I remember the day when I had enough during those 2 weeks. I couldn't eat. I just wanted to cry, but I sucked it up as we had a hotel with a laundry room and there was laundry to do. I saw God in so many times that trip. The enemy tried hard to turn our faith from God. The night Lee was sick and we entered Canada a day later, there must have been a strong windstorm as there were trailers laid over in the ditches. We gave up the U-Haul about halfway through our trip as we were tired of fixing flat tires, and that meant I was taking over and driving the van. It was February in Canada. I didn't have tire chains. We did for the truck, but we weren't planning on driving the van. But thank goodness we didn't have any issues. I just remember the one mountain that had Jason with me in the car, and I'm like, I think we're gonna make it. I mean, the tires are spinning, but we got through it. By the time we hit Alaska and had dry roads, my spirits were lifted and I was singing away in the car. When we split and we're driving two separate vehicles, there's also no cell service up there, so we had walkie-talkies. And by the time my spirits were lifted, I was singing to Lee into the walkie-talkies. That's how happy I was to be through that. Philippians 4:7-9. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the Lord and the God of peace will be with you. So finding our church in Alaska was God-directed, as the house we bought was 5 minutes from church. And yes, ladies, I was still late to church. God knew I needed these people. I would not have survived without the church family. It was the hardest church to leave behind. They helped me continue to grow out of my shell. I was back playing with the worship team, teaching Sunday school, teaching VBS, leading a team to cook meals all week for a crew that came to help build our addition onto our church. They loved on us when I found I had thyroid cancer and helped us move into another home. But a year later, after we thought we had found our retirement home, we were headed off to El Paso, Texas. We knew it was going to be a short stay, so we moved on to base, another first for us. But before we moved, we had a 7.1 earthquake, which sealed the deal for me to move. We had a moving company come this time, and they packed up and loaded everything themselves. I say, if you can afford it, that is the way to go. We left Jason behind to finish the school year as he was in high school. I have been to about every state except for the New England states. Our drive to El Paso brought us down through Washington, Oregon, California, across Nevada, into New Mexico, and finally Texas. I even saw Mexico, as the border runs along El Paso. El Paso turned out to be the best for our family. Lee had a normal schedule. We were able to spend a lot of time together. We played games after dinner or go for a bike ride. Lee and I even got into the habit of taking an evening walk around our neighborhood every night. God knew what he was doing. He was blessing us with all this time together, as he knew we'd be apart for so long now. The pandemic hit and Lee's time was up, and he was leaving for Fort Hood in Waco, Texas. We decided the kids and I were done moving. We found a camper for Lee to move in, and we had a house here to move into after it was remodeled. Lee changed from the Air Force to the Space Force. While he was in Fort Hood. There were good times and there were good and bad things about leaving Lee in Texas. Bad because we couldn't be with him, but good because he moved again 6 months later for Denver, Colorado. I need to invest in a plane these days, but these changes in my life keep growing me and shaping me into a godly woman. When we know we are in Christ, that we are loved by Him and belong to Him, we know we have worth. Believing that we have worth will encourage us to act in a worthy manner, a manner that the Bible calls fearing the Lord. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Okay, I don't know if you noticed that through my slideshows with all these verses, I was following how seven elements of becoming a biblical woman through these verses. So these were each of a biblical woman is trained in sound doctrine, a biblical woman conducts herself kindly. A biblical woman is disciplined. A biblical woman is a woman who leads. A biblical woman is confident. A biblical woman prays her heart out. A biblical woman is worthy. I don't always get it right, and you may not either, but thank goodness for forgiveness, another day to try again and draw closer to God and live by His strength and His grace. Never give up. Always keep the desire to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and relationship with the Lord. Because Christ freed us from sin and shame, we can walk confidently before the Lord, before the God the Father. There's no fear of failure or misfortune, because we know He can carry us through any trial. He alone is enough. The smile on my face doesn't mean my life is perfect. It means I appreciate what I have and what God has blessed me with. I don't know what the future holds or if we're done moving, but I know we can trust in God to lead us. I have no fears or worries. Actually, I'm kind of excited to see what God has planned for us after Lee's retirement. We have survived many moves, having 3 stressful surgeries, a deployment, cancer and living apart from each other, earthquakes and a dust storm, and many more. Life will never be perfect or easy, but God in His wisdom, grace and love has provided a way to redeem those hard times in our lives. He uses them to help us grow. A sweet friend texted me this week as she was said she was praying for me and then blessed me with this song. I want to share that song with you so that you can be reminded as well that no matter how hard life can be or what our future holds, we have a place to go home to in the end. And if we trust in Jesus and follow His steps.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe you don't have what it takes? 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. Don't forget what lies ahead. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, free. This road will be hard, but we win in the end. Simply because of Jesus in us, it's not if, but when. So take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. Oh, kind to us. Make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between what we are right now and where we're meant to be. Well, all that's been lost is made whole again. With these tears and this pain no longer exist. No more walking, we're running as fast as we can. Consider this our second wind. Almost home, brother.